Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Well, praise the Lord. We are here again. We thank you guys for joining us. This is New Creation's live stream service for Sunday, the 26th of April. And we are going to pick up where we left off on faith, or the title of the message is According to Your Faith. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you bring us light when we don't understand things. You bring us understanding when we lack it. And so, Lord, your word declares that if any of us lacks wisdom, to ask you. So, Lord, we're asking you to give us your wisdom so that we can understand your word, be doers of it, and also live it according to how you have given it unto us. So thank you for this time, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So we talked about last week about according to your faith, and we touched on some of the things that faith, how you get faith. So remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but also there has to be a doing element to faith. We can't just believe and not do. We always have to do as we believe. But I also want to talk about a few things about faith. So the next thing that we have is that faith is a gift. We receive faith not just by the word, but the Bible says that we get, every person gets a measure of faith. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And we will see this in the scripture where it talks about faith being a gift. So Romans 12, verse 3 says this: For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So everybody has been given a measure of faith. And then faith after that comes from listening and doing the word. But I also want to talk about what faith is not, okay? So there's a couple of things that we have to remember about this. Faith, we cannot create our own faith. We cannot build faith on things that are not based on the word. I've heard people say stuff like, well, I'm believing that this will happen. Well, you may be believing that, but that's not according to your faith. That probably the proper word for that would be, I'm hoping that this would be something. But when you're believing God for something, you have to have a basis for that belief. And the Bible says that the basis of faith is the word. So whenever you believe God for something, you have to have a promise in the Bible that gives you the right to believe that he's going to do it. And then you have the right to expect him to do it. So faith, we cannot create faith out of our own mind or whatever. And we also have to remember that everything that we believe has to be consistent with the will and the word of God. A lot of people's faith, they say they want to believe God for this, they want to believe God for that. But hold on, ask yourself, is it according to his will for you? Is it according to the word? We know that 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this, and this is one of the premier scriptures that you need when you're praying, because it helps you to stay focused in your prayer. And this is one of the memory scriptures that I remembered many years ago. And it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, being God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So notice how he starts off that we have confidence that if we ask anything according to his will. So confidence is another word for trust or faith or assurance. We have assurance that if we believe that God is giving us a promise, then, and it's according to his will, then we know it's going to come to pass. But it goes all the way back still to according to your faith. A lot of promises are in the Bible, and we're going to get to this in a minute. But a lot of people won't take hold of them because they haven't gotten their faith to believe that God wants to do for them what he says he wants to do. Now, the reality is that, though, when you say, everybody says, well, you have to pray according to the word, there are so many promises in the Bible that allows us to grab a hold of so that we can believe them, so that we can see them happen. The first one is salvation. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, most believers don't have a problem with that passage. They believe that that is the method to which they get saved. So they have saving faith, but then God says, he says in his word that by his stripes, you are healed. A lot of people have problems with that. And a lot of people struggle with that. Well, does God want to heal me? Is it God's will to heal me? Well, the Bible says the will of God is in the scriptures. And if he says that he wants to heal you, that means he wants to heal you. But it goes back to, it's according to the faith that you believe. There is a story in the Bible, and I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to just talk about it briefly. And that was a story when Jesus went home to Nazareth. And everybody knew Jesus. Everybody knew him. He was Mary's child. He was Joseph's son. And so when Jesus went back to Nazareth, he was in the synagogue, and he was preaching, and they heard him talk, and they said, well, who does this guy think he is? Isn't this Mary's son and Joseph's son? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, and Judah with us and his sisters? He says, who does this guy think he is? And the Bible says something that has always shocked me, but it also goes along with the message. It says that, and Jesus, not the disciples, not Paul, not Peter, not James, not John, but Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, that's amazing. The Son of God is in their midst, and because they don't believe that he's the Son of God, he can't do anything for them. Or the Bible doesn't say he didn't do anything. It says he only did a few things. But notice how even not believing in God, that keeps you from receiving from God. That's why it's according to your faith in him, not your faith like in some ethereal thing. A lot of people also try to make it faith as something that's just something that you reach up and grab and you use it. Faith has to be cultivated by the promises of the scriptures, and then you have to grab hold of it and believe that it is for you. Like I said, a lot of people, nobody has problems with faith when it comes to salvation. It's the other areas of life that we struggle with. But let's move on. We'll get into that some a little bit more. So we know that in order to believe God, we have to have a promise to stand upon. So let me go through some passages. And one of the things I also want us to parallel this message with, according to your faith, is the parable of the sower. Now let's go to the parable of the sower, and we're going to only go to the part where Jesus explains the parable, because most of us know what the parable of the sower is. And for those that don't know, the parable of the sower is where Jesus says, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed, some by the wayside, some by the some by the amongst weeds and some amongst thorns and things like that. And then there was some group that grew up. But I want to go to the explanation of the parable as opposed to the parable itself. So, but because he puts it all together. So in verse 18, chapter 13 of Matthew, it says this: "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then that wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." So that's one type of seed. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30-fold." So all of these are about according to their faith. The first one talks about, well, he heard the word, but he didn't understand it. And I want to look that in that parallel, that passage with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. So let's go there real quickly, because this also speaks to how if you don't apply the faith that you hear or you know, it's not going to do you any good. So this is the book of Hebrews is this, in this particular story, he's talking about the children of Israel, how they received the promise to go. Now, remember, everybody that was in slavery, God promised that he was going to bring them out. Is that right? Everybody was coming out, and he was going to give them a land that they were going to possess as their own. Now, notice verse 2 says, "For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." We're talking about the children of Israel. "But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.'" And so he goes on to talk about they couldn't enter because of their unbelief. They had the word. The promise was theirs. All they had to do was believe it. But many of them got sidetracked about, "Oh man, we don't have any meat to eat. Oh man, we don't have any water to drink. Oh man, there's giants in the land." All those things clouded their vision. And if you think of the parable of the sower, that is a picture of what the children of Israel were going through. They let things get in the vision of what the word had told them, and they didn't possess the promises. And that's what we have to be careful of. You know, a lot of people are going through this process of self-isolation or quarantine or whatever you want to call it. And many people are panicking, or when are we going to be able to go back to work? How come, you know, they won't let us do this? How come we don't? But if you trust God, he's going to bring you through all this. Don't panic. Don't allow your emotions to bubble up and say, "I'm just going to do it. I don't care what they say. I'm going to." Don't become rebellious in your patience. You have to wait. Some things you just have to wait for. Yes, look, I'm with you. I don't like being at home. I don't like, can't do things. I can't, you know, I pick up the phone sometimes to call somebody. I say, "Man, they're closed. I want to go down there." "No, they're closed." I said, "Man, everybody's closed." But I just have to wait. Eventually, it's going to open up. So we have to learn that if we trust God, he will bring us to the point where we want to get to, according to his promises. Amen? So we have to keep our eyes stayed on the promise. And the other thing we want to remember about this as we go through this message is how this process works. So let's go through some examples of how the people took the word, applied the word, acted on the word, and saw the results of the word come to pass. So let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64 through 65. Now, these are seem to be obscure passages, but I want us to see how God makes his word come to pass when he speaks it. So Deuteronomy 28, 64. Now, Deuteronomy is the one where we get the song, "We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go." We, you know, that's where the song comes from. Deuteronomy 28. But when you get to the past verse 15, oh, it's the bad news. And verse 64 says, "Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, and which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart and failing eyes and anguish of soul." And if you go back to 63, it says, "And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, he will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing because of their worship of foreign gods." So this is God's promise to do bad if they don't do right. Now, you jump over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. Oh, actually, let's go to 2 Chronicles. You know, a lot of people are going to 2 Chronicles 7:14 in this season. And they're, you know, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and then I will forgive their sin, and then I will heal their lands." And that is a promise we can pray as God's people. But when just before, after that, there's another promise that God gives to Solomon in verse 19 that explains what will happen if they don't do what we just said. It says, "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples." And then you go to the whole book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the fulfillment of 2 Chronicles 7:19. Jeremiah proclaims that because these people won't worship me, God has said, "You are now going to be captured by the nation of Babylon." And he tells them that, and they say, no, we're not going to be captured. God is not going to let it happen. He says, yes, he's going to let it happen, just like he said. And over, Jeremiah has to prophesy this mess. What a terrible message to have to bring to your friends and your family, that God is going to do this, and he's going to destroy this temple. He's going to destroy this nation. He's going to send you into captivity. But he had a word for those. If they would listen, he said, "And if you want to save your lives, go surrender to the Babylonians now." Well, most of them wouldn't do it. So many of them died as a result of that. So this is what, when the God speaks a word, he is going to bring it to pass. And he is going to use that word to get people's attention. Now, let's look at this other promise that he gave in the midst of Jeremiah's prophecy, in the midst of them telling them that they're going to go into captivity, in the midst of all the bad news, he tells them something that only a few catch. So Jeremiah 25, chapter, verse 11. And say, by his promises, says this, "And the whole land shall be in desolation and in astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. He set the time, 70 years they were going to be in Babylon. But then, the good, so there's bad news, but he gives them good news on the horizon. It's not going to last forever. Now, I know none of us want to be quarantined for 70 years, but we know that the quarantine is going to end. Now, the Jewish people knew this was going to end. Now, only a few of them grabbed a hold of it that we see. We know, so God promises, everybody say, God promised to get them out in 70 years. So now Daniel gets a hold of the promise. And Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, let's look at Daniel real quickly. Daniel says this. In verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, which was what we just read, the prophet, that he should accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. So based on that promise, Daniel starts to pray and say, oh God, we repent and we turn in our sackcloths and ashes, and I'm paraphrasing, and we ask, Lord God, and we confess that we've done all this evil, but you promised that you were going to return us back to the land after 70 years. So Daniel starts to pray, God, keep your promise. God, do what you said you're going to do. And you might say, well, how come he could do that? Because God promised him. He said 70 years, and Daniel said, look, 70 years is up. God, send us back home now. And then Ezra, Nehemiah captured the same promise. If you go to those books, they pray the same thing. God, you said 70 years, and you said if we turned our face back to you, you would put us back in that land. And it was based on that promise, Ezra, Nehemiah, all the Jews in Babylon that wanted to go, because there were some that didn't. They went back, and they rebuilt the temple, and they started. Now, this is a big example of how a promise spoken that they grabbed hold of, they wouldn't let it go until it was going to be fulfilled. Are you hearing this? And faith is the same way. You cannot waver. You have to know that what God said, he's going to do it. But so many Christians, so many of us don't believe that God will do what he says he will do. The Bible says, if you ask for a fish, will God give you a stone? If your son asked for a fish, would you give him a stone? Or if you ask for I can't remember the order, but he said a fish and a serpent, a stone and a scorpion. He says, but you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. He says, how much more will God give good things to those who ask him? But most of us don't believe that God wants to give good things to us. We think that God's still mad at us. We think God doesn't like us. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We don't understand the magnitude of the love that God has for us. If we understood the magnitude of his love, we would understand the powerful promises that he's given us and that we would hold on to those promises. We wouldn't allow circumstances to move us away. We wouldn't allow what people say persuade us from not believing in God. That's what I mean by according to your faith. If you believe that God loves you, if you believe that God wants to give you good things, then you have to go through. Yeah, the reality is, though, we are going to have to wait. That's patience. We're going to have to allow God to work out the timing. But we still have to trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Many people, especially now where people are losing their jobs, some of them are laid off, furloughed, or whatever, and they are not sure what they're going to do. But if you hold on to the promise that God will meet all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and not let go of it, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. We just have to believe. Most of us believe for a while, and then 2 weeks have up, and we put in 100 resumes, and nobody's called us. We put in another 100 the next week, nobody's called us, and we say, well, I don't know what, I'm going to just have to do something. And we don't say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but help me to trust you in the midst of this and know that you're going to open a door. All I need is one door. I don't need 100. I don't need 200. I just need one. So, Lord, let me trust you for one door. That takes bold faith. That takes persistence. That takes patience. That takes believing that God will do what he said he's going to do. And that's not always easy. Look, go back to the parable. Somebody heard the word, and right away the devil took it out of their hearts. Somebody heard the word again, and persecution and tribulation, troubles, made them turn away. Troubles shouldn't make us turn away. Troubles should make us hold on tighter. I remember when I was trying to learn to swim, and somebody was pulling me. I didn't let them let go when they got to the deep. I held on tighter because I knew I couldn't swim, right? We need to hold on tighter when God, we go through troubles, not let go. That's not the time to let go. That's the time to make sure, as we were saying in the devotion, make sure that your anchor is holding. That's an old song. I won't sing it right now, but I got to find it so I can sing it. And you have to trust through persecution, through obstacles, through success. Most people don't think about believing God when things are going right. But you have to trust that God is going to maintain you in the good and the bad times. We always talk about the bad times. We always talk about, oh, I'm down to my last dime, I'm down to my last meal. And that's because that's usually when we get serious. But we have to maintain strength and confidence when the good times are coming. Because, you know, good times visit the rich and the poor, the up and the down, the ins and the outs, the cool and the uncool. It all comes to all of us. But we have to hold on. Amen? Hey, man, I'm going to pull the plug right there. We're going to talk about next time Elijah and the story of Elijah and how Elijah took one of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch promises, and that's what allowed him to call the fire down from heaven. So we'll pick that up next week. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that you're showing us that it's not based on just your word, because your word is true no matter whether we believe it or not. But it's based on how we grab a hold of your word. And that's why you gave me this title, According to Your Faith. It's according to how much we believe you, how much we trust you, how much we know that you love us, and how much we love you back. As I've always said, a perfect love relationship is when you speak your word to us, we believe it, and we don't doubt it in any shape, form, or fashion. So, Lord, teach us how to have that kind of faith, that there's nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, I pray for all those that are listening. I pray, Lord God, that they would examine their own hearts, examine our hearts, so that we know that we are in the faith, that we know that we're trusting you. And yes, sometimes trust is hard, but Lord, the reward of trust is so wonderful. And let us remember that the reward is greater than the trial. So thank you, Lord. I bless those that are listening. I ask that you would touch their bodies, touch their minds, bless them, help them to find jobs. Lord, increase their investments, increase what it is that they're struggling with, whatever question they have in their heart. Lord, be the answer that they're looking for. In Jesus' mighty name.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.